Give me an aspirin. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rare is Fundamental Podcast, episode 74. I am sick, but like the San Antonio Spurs, I won't go away. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 74, being recorded on February 11th, 2017, brought to you by Rary.net, and being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. My name is Rary, and I am sick. My guest for this episode is Jeff Garcia, co-founder of Project Spurs, Spurs writer for News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio, and also the host of Locked On Spurs, part of Locked On NBA Podcast Network. And, believe me, I didn't sound this sick when I was talking to Jeff earlier today. And before I go on, let me tell you, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. That can't even be you part anymore. Follow me on Twitter at the Nola Pass. Also, this podcast is made by the Happy Hour Network, and you can also download it on Stitcher and RareRate.net. I'm all over the place, so I'm going to stop here before I throw up. Here's me and Jeff. Taking it old school in a way, not E.J. Christian, he's not here. But yeah, I've known Jeff for a long time, 8 years, and here it is, me and Jeff Garcia. Scratch. Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 74. It's been a long time since I had this guy on any podcast of mine. But an old friend of mine, writer for News for San Antonio, Fox 29, also the host of Locked On Spurs, and the co-founder of Project Spurs, Jeff Garcia. What is up? It's been a long time, dude.
Oh my god, Ray. When was the last time you and I spoke?
I have no idea. We've known each other
since, I know.
What, 2000?
But we've known each other since, yeah, since what, 2005, 6, something like that?
Oh, it's not that far back. 2009?
2009? Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, exactly.
I had John Corrales on the last episode, and we're just talking about this, how we're all like, we've all done our separate things, and we've done well in all of our jobs and stuff like that, and here we are, and reunited, basically, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think we all met in New York City. We went to, it was after a conference, we went to a rooftop bar, wasn't it? And that's where we all just hit it off.
Right, yeah. Blogs of Balls, yeah. Man. Blogs of Balls. And, You still can't.
Little known fact too, I remember you and I shared a hotel room at the Summer League of years ago.
Right! Oh my gosh! I forgot about
Remember that?
I forgot about that. Yeah. And you keep giving me shit about like how I keep getting turned down by women left and right and stuff like that. Whether it's New York or Las Vegas and stuff like that, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you and I shared a room in Vegas. We went to the Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you passing out the first night.
I'm so good at that.
Yeah, you were good at that. Yeah, I know. Well, I remember landing there and then meeting everybody at one of the hotel bars, and the time difference for me, like, hit me all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because I was flying from New York to Vegas. And I think that's, what, a four-hour difference? I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember in the lobby of the hotel, it was me, it was you, a bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
And it was early in the night for everybody, but it physically, I felt like it was 6, 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just getting up and saying, I got to go back to the hotel. And I remember just crashing out.
Yeah. And then we met up with John. Man.
Yep.
Such great memories, dude. Seriously. Yeah, I've been back in Vegas since. And I've been I've been there every summer since then. So I'm kind of like waiting for you guys to come back.
Yeah. The Summer League is it's different to see how back then when we would go. It was a good event, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like it feels like now like an entire season. You know, like the way they structure it, like now they have tournaments and they have a championship. Back when you and I went, you know, that didn't exist. It was just bunch of games, every go home. That's all it was.
Yeah, there was no nothing at stake, and now there are Summer League championships. It's so funny to see, like, oh, the Kings have a banner in Vegas now because of this, you know, and so
yeah,
and the Warriors too. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So, it's become a massive event. Everybody still goes, and I'm hoping you guys can come back. because you missed out some good you missed out some good memories, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah, but it's too rich for my blood now.
Right.
You and I got lucky that one time with the Hooters Hotel. Remember?
Oh my God, it was the Hooters Hotel. And of course,
And I remember trying to convince everybody to meet us at the hotel room, well, not the room, with the lobby, because if you were a guest at that hotel, it was dollar Bud Lights, like all you can drink.
Right. And I wasn't much of a drinker to begin with, so of course after like 2-3 beers I'm done or whatever.
Yeah, back then I don't know now, but you were like weak, man. Couldn't handle your liquor.
I'm still awful at that. I stopped drinking a year and a half ago after an incident.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, which I will tell you off, well, I can tell you here because I already told the story once, but long story short, I got super drunk a year and a half ago in Vegas at my cousin's place.
Yeah.
And I was flirting with a woman, and I got kicked in the groin.
Oh, well, good for you. You stopped drinking.
And then we made out like 5 minutes after. So it was like a really bizarre night.
That is a very wild night, Ray.
Yeah, and then, after that I stopped drinking, because I can't take it anymore. I'm like too, my body can't handle it, you know? So.
Well, truth be told, my tolerance has declined a lot lately now.
Do you still drink? Occasionally?
Yeah, I still can, but not like I used to back when I was what, in my, how old was I? Early, mid-30s, I think, or early 30s back then? I don't remember.
You're giving your age away.
I know, I practically did, yeah. It's bad enough, one of my locked-on brothers, he does the locked-on Lakers, it hit him during an interview where we were doing a recap, and he's like, wait a minute, how old are you? Because I was referencing Laker players that he's never heard of before.
is it Harrison or Anthony?
Yeah, Harrison. Yeah. Harrison. It hit Harrison. He's like, wait a minute, how old are you?
Yeah. I met those are really cool guys, by the way, for the Locked On Lakers.
Yeah, they're good guys. Yeah. They're good guys. And they've been like friends for a long time. They're like a married couple now.
Yeah.
You watch it, they argue like a married couple.
Yeah, I had both Harrison and Anthony on the podcast before, and I never really asked them about, like, you know, younger Lakers and stuff like that. I mean, Lakers from, like, way back then, like, in the 90s, like, Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel, Sabalos, guys like that. And,
you know,
I was in high school when they were big, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think you and I, you know, we've known each other for a long time. Do you still cover the Lakers specifics, just focus on them, or are you more general NBA now?
I'm more general NBA now. Okay. I still do Foreign Blue and Gold once in a while for the Lakers. So, yeah, but, you know, I'm kind of slowing down at this point, too, because I've done everything I want to do, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all of us are
getting to that point.
Yeah, exactly, like the time I've known you, like that's what I started, and it's because of you. Getting a little sappy here, it's because of you that I started doing a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, because you guys had me and Dave from Project Spurs. I'm like, oh man, we gotta have a podcast too. So you know, you're one of the. Go ahead.
But y'all did Clippers, right?
Clippers Lakers, yeah.
Clippers Lakers. Okay, because I always would get confused. I would always think you were the Laker guy, and like Dave and all the rest of your crew were Clippers.
Yeah, I know one of my friends, Brandon, has gone on to do Clipper blog, so he's done well as well. Peter and Dave kind of stopped after a bit. Peter runs marathons now. So I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he got married, yeah.
No, he does marathons. So I'm like, I complained driving a car for 26 miles, and here you are running it, you know? So I can't do that, man. They're in their mid-30s now. You know.
Did you move to Portland?
I moved to Portland for a year, and I came back to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, how was that?
I love Portland. Like, I would live there again, given a chance. Yeah. Because it's chill. You know, it's not as fast as L.A., which, you know, I still kind of get like, oh, my God, this is too much for me. And I made some good friends there. So,
Were you doing Blazer stuff or no?
I was doing for that NBA lottery pick for a little bit. Yeah, and so it's just general NBA, but I did meet it with some Blazers people there too, and they were good. So, yeah,
sounds like fun. Look at you, you've been traveling up and down the West Coast.
Yeah, now I mean it's only LA and Portland, man. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never been to the West Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I find it surprising because I know you've been in New York,
and of
course, you know, you're in San Antonio right now, so, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think you'd love California, but.
Yeah. I hear good things about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy for you because that's when you go to Summer League so often because it's a drive for you from where you live to Vegas. It's quick.
It's a 4-hour drive for me. And
yeah,
I'm actually going to go there probably again next month because it's my friend's birthday. But lots of it. But the thing is, it's hard to Vegas when you're doing Summer League work because you're going to the basketball games, and then after that, it's like you only have enough energy for like a few hours after that, you know? So, I don't know.
Pretty much, because, well, you know how it is. You know, you go to the game, you sit through the game, then you gotta wait for the people to allow you to talk to the players, and then you get your stuff, and then you go back to your work room or your hotel room, write it up, and then post it, and then you realize, crap, there's another game soon, or the day's gone.
Yeah. Like, people have no idea how hard it is to do a Summer League day.
It's tough. It's tough.
I did the entire thing one time, actually. I did 2 weeks of it, and it's so exhausting. That was exhausting. Like, I saw Zach Harper do the entire thing, too, and I'm like, dude, what the hell are we doing this for 2 weeks for?
Yeah, you are insane. You see the entire 2 weeks of Summer League coverage, that's just, I don't know how you did that.
I don't know how I did it either.
You pretty much didn't, like, have any life then. You're pretty much just living in your computer in a room, right?
Yeah, basically, and the days I would go out, it's like, man, I'm tired. I don't know how long I'm gonna be out, and then I'm back like 11 or 12, you know. So
yeah,
because Summer League would end like around like 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever. Because the full
eight thirty ish.
Yeah, and then you only have a few hours to enjoy, you know, Summer League. I mean, Las Vegas.
Yeah,
because you're so exhausted and stuff like that. So.
Oh, yeah, and then you're tired, and then, you know, it's hot out there, and then, you know,
it's the worst.
You meet friends, and they want to amp it up more, they want to drink till all hours of the night, and you're looking at your watch, and you're like, oh, my goodness, there's a game in, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not 25 anymore. Like, I can't do it.
No, that's true.
Anymore. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I slow down a lot, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are getting older.
But speaking of Harper, he stopped following me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Maybe because they don't see you on Twitter. I'm serious.
Oh,
like,
there's that.
It's weird because
that perplexes me. How you can say that?
Yeah, it perplexes me too because like I see your feed. I'm like, yeah, but he's on all the time. How come I don't see him? It's weird. And
I don't know.
But to be fair, I haven't been on Twitter as much the past year or so.
Yeah, because when you told me that, I just was beside myself. Like, Ray must be either losing it, or he just doesn't see or something.
Yeah. Like, I'll be on today, because Thunder and Warriors are on. But
yeah, that's kind of a big game.
Yeah, so I'll be on for that, but for the most part, it's like, yeah, I'll watch kind of silently, and I won't be live-tweeting as much anymore. But,
yeah,
I don't see you. I don't see Mike DeLeon
either.
I don't see Mike DeLeon either.
Oh, well, yeah. He scaled back a lot, but as far as me, I'm like, what is Ray talking about?
Yeah, but.
And then if you're right, you went and look and you saw it, you're like, how do I miss all this?
Yeah. It's like, here you are retweeting fans, like, every hour, it seems. And I'm like, that's
yeah,
crazy.
and then calling games and X, Y, and Z, and you know, and then you're like, I've always been.
Yeah, and I watch a lot of Spurs games. I love watching the Spurs, by the way. I really do. And
yeah, you're just saying that because I'm the guest.
No. I've had an appreciation for the Spurs for the last few years or so, especially the 2014.
Finally, you came around.
Huh?
Finally, you came around.
I guess so. I mean, I love the 2014 title team. Like, I can't stop raving about that team.
That team was special.
That really was. And I love Kawhi. I love the HGV commercials. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love watching the Spurs. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that people don't appreciate them as much because they're quote-unquote boring. And I don't really buy that. Like,
They're not boring. If you watched the game last night versus the Pistons, mm-hmm. you would have seen an alley-oop fest and a dunk fest and a fast break fest. And these are not your father's Spurs teams of recent years. And they're a little bit more exciting. They're dunking, they're running, they're younger, even though the core is still old. Like, you heard that before, but their core is old, but their peripheral players, like your Deadmans and your Murrays, your Kawhis and all that stuff, all those other guys, they're exciting to watch. I mean, I was at the Philly game and, watching the covering the game courtside, and I'm watching Deadman play. I'm like, my God, this guy's crazy athletic, and he's dunking, he's running the floor, and then you see... Manu still having the touch. I mean, he was 39 years old and he still can ball. And Parker, he looks like he's having a resurgence of late. And he's not the 20 plus point a night Parker that everybody saw remembers, but he's getting it done. You know, he's averaging low double digits, about 11, and he needs a team in assists. Yeah. And he's taking care of the ball. He's had several strings of games where he's not turning the ball over once in the entire game. So I like that as a Spurs media guy.
Mm-hmm. Does that perplex you, though, with the entire country that's still not enamored with the Spurs? Because, first of all, like, we see the Warriors passing, right? Like, the Spurs did that first, right?
And, oh, of course.
Yeah. And we see, and then we talk about small markets. Well, the Thunder got a following. How come the Spurs haven't? Is that still perplexion?
You know, I think they're just the Spurs are the trendsetters. You know, think about this. Kerr was a former Spur. You know, he took a page out of Pop's book.
Mm-hmm.
You look at, you know, like you mentioned, the 2014 team.
Yeah.
And that 2014 team set the tone for all other teams to emulate. The Warriors are doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. The Spurs were the Warriors nowadays before the Warriors where they were today. Basically, that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
You know, granted, they didn't have the high flyers like Draymond Green and KD and Iguodala and Curry, but that ball passing, that cutting, spreading the floor offensively to disrupt opposing defenses, that was the Spurs before the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I don't think fans remember that. I would always tell fans, you want to see the Warriors were like before the Warriors were the way they are today, go watch the 2014 Spurs team, and you're going to look, it looks like a mirror image. If you were to put side-by-side video of the Warriors running their set plays right now and then put it on the other side of the TV screen, the Spurs doing the same thing in 2014, that's the same team. They're just different uniforms.
Yeah. I tell people, even my friends, about how the Spurs have really changed over the years, how they went from quote-unquote boring to the offensive juggernaut they are now. Like, I think it changed around when Kawhi got there, right? Because, because I noticed the numbers and the advanced stats and everything, like around 2012, they were high in offensive rating than they ever were.
Mm-hmm.
Not defensively, though, because, they were still working on that. And it kind of caught up to them when they made the finals.
Yeah, you know, when they hit, yeah, I mean, that's 2014's first team was just on a mission.
Yeah,
you know, Tim Duncan, he never talked smack ever, as much that I can recall covering him since day one till he retired, but that was the closest you saw Tim Duncan talk trash when he was saying, like, they're going to do it, like meaning, like, they're going to win the title, even before they even advanced to the NBA Finals. So,
mm-hmm.
That, like I said, that team was on a mission. They got it done, and they just took out the Heat. It looked too easy, though.
It really did. Did you have that feeling did you have a feeling where it's like, oh, they're going to win the title. It's going to be a disappointment if they don't. Did you have that feeling that year?
Oh, I had that feeling. It wavered a bit in that first round against Dallas, where Dallas took him to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Another Spurs season. Great, great, great regular season. High hopes. And then fall flat in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the only time. But I was actually, I covered that 2014 finals from Press Row out of the AT&T Center. And I was there for the infamous air conditioning game where they went out and, LeBron got cramps.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I was sitting in my seat, my press row seat, and it didn't hit me that the AC was out until I started noticing the crowd using, like, the signs that the arena, the team gives them fans as, like, Go Spurs Go, like a little paper sign, you know, they can just flash. They were making them into fans, and they were fanning themselves, and I'm looking around like, what is everybody doing? Like, why? I go, it's not hot. Mind you, I'm wearing a sports jacket that night, a long sleeve shirt, jeans, and I'm sitting in a crowded press row, and I don't feel it. And it wasn't until I turned, and I forgot who I was sitting next to, and I saw that person just sweating, and then it hit me. I was like, it's hot. It's so hot. And then I recall after I was done covering the game and fans were still kind of lingering in the arena, just drenched from head to toe, and that didn't stop Spurs fans. They were still cheering. They were still rooting the Spurs. I mean, I'm talking, I remember seeing women's makeup running. I remember seeing guys, like, taking off their shirts and just, like, wrapping it around their head like a bandana to stop the sweat. As much as you saw that on TV, it didn't compare to experiencing it. That entire arena was just burning hot.
Imagine, like, the players, though. Like, It's gotta be tough to play like in 105 degree weather or something like that.
Yeah, you know? And then the lights shining down on the court.
Yeah.
That game was fun, quote unquote. But after that, you know, it was just a fun series. And you know, you fast forward to today, and I gotta tell you, I did not expect this first team to be playing this well as they are right now. I thought losing Tim Duncan was gonna hurt them tremendously. I thought, that. I actually came into the season thinking like their biggest weakness, actually aside from maybe the defensive fall that I thought they were going to have, was going to be the point guard position. Tony Parker, everybody saw him take two steps back. He wasn't the same TP last season. He didn't look like the same TP in the Olympics. He had a game here, then he'll be gone for a couple games, then he'll show up playing for Team France. And then, you know, you saw early signs of it in the beginning of the season. He wasn't, you know, with that motor that he used to have, and then suddenly he caught fire, and then now he's playing decent. He's playing good, and I like that. And I felt that he needed to evolve because he isn't the man anymore. You know, him and Manu and TD, that original big three, that's gone now. You know, two thirds of the big three are still there, but they've taken tremendous steps back in allowing Kawhi and LaMarcus to still be, you know, the head of the snake for San Antonio. And, you know, I remember talking to Parker after the Philly game recently. And it was funny because he was saying stuff like, I'm here. I pull guys to the side. I talk to them one-on-one. I try to help them. You know, he's really, really embraced that, the old man role. Like, like lean on me, young guys. I'll guide you through that. He's really embraced that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see that. And again, I looked at the point guard position. I'm like, yeah, that's probably their biggest weakness because TP at that time going into the season, you know, everybody thought that he was going to lose a leg, lose a wheel, and just not be the same TP. You got Patty Mills, who's a great player. You know, he had a wonderful Olympics, but he's not a typical point guard. He needs shots. And then I saw at that time a 19-year-old rookie out of Washington, get drafted, had zero NBA experience, is going to play for Pop. The Spurs system is tough to learn. I was like, that's going to be their biggest weakness. And lo and behold, look at this. TP is playing good. DeJounte Murray, when he gets in, he shows signs of great future. I mean, he dropped 24 points on the defending champs, Cavs, in their own arena. This Spurs team is just definitely, they're clicking right now. The problem is with them is that this team, they still have issues, and it's between their ears. You look at their losses, almost a good chunk of them came against teams that are below 500.
Mm-hmm.
A good chunk of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard this before.
Yeah.
How many times do you hear this? Regular season doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But don't worry, they'll be fine. I think it does matter. I think these little losses here and there are going to come back and bite them in the butt. Let's just pretend that for some crazy reason they get tied with the Warriors, or they get tied with the third place team, whoever that may be, Utah or Houston. You know, like, well, who has the better conference record? And then they look, oh, well, you should never lost to the Pelicans or the Mavericks in your own home court. Spurs,
right.
Guess what? You lose it, you know. And then, complacency, they tend to take their foot off the gas from time to time. They don't play four quarters of basketball sometimes. They turn the ball over. You know, you look at what they did in Philly. They were at one point shooting over 70% in a quarter. It was ridiculous. Everything was going down. But at the end of the day, you wonder, how the hell did Philly stay in this game? They had like 15 turnovers for 20-something Philly points. So, you know, they tend to just just, you know, you get a little frustrated with them sometimes. Like, this team statistically is dominant on both ends of the court. They're putting up numbers. They had a string of 100-plus point games, like 20-something in a row where it is lighting up the scoreboard. And you look at the defensive stuff, at least at the last time I checked, there was third defensive rating second in the opponent points, you know. And I'm like, God, Gospers, you guys are good offensively and defensively. What's the problem? And it's, but sometimes they just don't play a full game. They don't. I mean, Papa said it. The players have said it. Manu's been perplexed. Like, I don't know why we just don't. And I don't know, maybe it's boredom. Maybe they realize that the real season is still not months away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I like the path they're going on. They got the Knicks tomorrow, or by the time you're listening to this, it already happened. But, you know, people ask me, like, well, what do you think about the Spurs versus the Knicks? I'm like, they should win. They really should beat the crap out of the Knicks team.
Right.
But if they were to lose, I mean, that's typical Spurs. They don't play a full game.
Hey guys, it's Pamela Horton, Miss October 2012, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. See you then.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging clear. And I can't help but ask myself how much I let the fear take the wheel and steer.
Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Well, it's funny because, like, aren't the fans really spoiled? Because they haven't, the Spurs haven't been in the playoffs since, my gosh, since 97. I graduated high school in 97. That was the last time they missed the playoffs. Wow. A long time ago, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, you mentioned that I was locked on Spurs, and the man in charge, the Utah Jazz radio voice, David Locke, he said on his one of his shows, he goes, over there talking about the Spurs, and he goes, I don't know how Jeff can cover this team when they're always winning. Like, there's no drama. There's no losing streak. There's no, oh, my God, Kawhi had five games in a row. He has an off night. There's something wrong. Or no, I mean, it's just difficult. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I start going like, oh, I don't want to watch another game. I don't even know the outcome's going to be. They're going to win. You know, I can just look at it and be, they're going to win. They're just going to win. And why bother?
Yeah.
You know, but no, it is fine. I mean, I shouldn't be like this. I mean, look, you know, the listener knows, I know, the rest of the NBA knows. You got one end of the spectrum, the Knicks, and you see just how a disaster that team is. You got a team that where they treat ex-players, the ownership, you know, a GM, Phil Jackson, you know, that is just a disaster. You got a player, Melo, the way they're treating him, and then versus the Spurs, a small market team, great ownership, great GM, great coach, great players, no drama, no fights in the stands with former players and getting thrown out, no GM trying to throw their star player into the... You know, and so, yeah, are Spurs fans spoiled? Yeah, I think they are. The media is spoiled? Yeah, I think Spurs media are spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so juicy when you hear somebody like Steven Jackson go like, oh, well, they let me go because I was talking back to Pop. Oh, my God, it was the biggest drama ever. And we loved it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because, like, you know, like Clipper fans finally got something, right? Like, they started making the playoffs, and... The Laker fans didn't know how good they had it until they started missing the playoffs when the Mike D'Antoni took over and of course Byron Scott and now Luke Walton. Like, man, they had it really good, and now this is why every team wants to be like the Spurs, because Yeah, no knuckleheads. They make the playoffs every season. They're always good. You can depend on them for being good, and they're always going to be championship contenders, like, all the time, even this year, even though the Warriors are having a banner year again, but, you know, you can never count the Spurs out. You just can't. They're a walking dead or something.
No. Yeah, they are the walking dead, exactly. I mean, you know, the only way you're going to defeat them is cutting the head off, just like a zombie, and that's like trying to Pop would have to retire, or ownership comes in and they get some stupid owner that comes in and wants the medal. I mean, it'll take something like that for the Spurs machine to stop. I mean, look what they did with Steven Jackson. I mean, years ago, they brought him back. They wanted him back. They wanted that edge. They wanted that clutchness, if you will. Mm-hmm. He started mouthing off. He got into some supposed reported issues with players, and then they just cut him on the spot right before the playoffs. That's the, I mean, but they just don't, they accept that type of, they don't tolerate that type of mess in the locker room. I mean, the moment it affects the locker room, whatever player that is, they're going to just dump them.
Yeah. I mean, it's cold-blooded, but that's just the way they are. You know, like, they can't accept behavior like that. And I think that's why, you know, they keep winning and, you know, the chemistry is still really, really good up to now, you know. From, man, going back, you had David Robinson and then Tim Duncan, and now Kawhi Leonard. Like, how does this keep happening to you guys?
I mean, look, I mean, David Robinson, when they drafted him, that was a no-brainer. Tim Duncan, that was a no-brainer. Kawhi just surprised everybody. I was actually at the draft, covering the that draft when he got drafted by the Pacers.
Yeah.
And I remember just sitting there like, well, there goes that player. Oh, Spurs are going to be on board sometime soon. You know, they had a high pick. I mean, a low pick. They had a great season. Then you start hearing rumbling about trading with the Pacers and the Spurs. I remember getting up my seat, rushing to the conference room where the players did a post-draft conference. I remember catching Kawhi in line with an NBA PR staffer, and I said, can I just have 5 minutes? They're like, yeah, go ahead, no problem. Mm-hmm. And I barely could get any words in before the line just moved fast, and he had to go up on stage. And mind you, everybody's thinking he's a Pacer, he's a Pacer, he's a Pacer. You know, oh, what's going to like to play in Indiana, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm really getting wind about this trade. And so then out of nowhere, you know, the NBA TV cameras go on me because I have a question. You know how it is. You raise your hand, they stick the mic down the aisle. Mm. And I go, so there's rumors about you being traded to San Antonio. And he looks at me like, what are you talking about? And then he goes, well, if it happens, you know, this is pre, I'm a quiet guy, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, if it happens, that'll be great. You should go to a great organization. But basically the canned answer that you normally ever get.
Yes.
So that was it, you know. But at that time, you know, talking on Press Row, reading about this guy after he became official and he got traded, did not expect this at all. I thought he was just going to be Bruce Bowen version 2.0. That's all I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
Just a great defender, a lockdown defender, give you the occasional bucket here and there. Not this. This is just unexpected. But credit to him and the Spurs coaching staff to get that out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I know people love George Hill. Like, he's still a very good player. But, yeah, like, they basically traded George Hill for a superstar, for a franchise player, for a top player. Like, that's ridiculous, right? And, you know, no disrespect to George Hill. Like, he's done very well for a Pacers, he's doing well for the Jazz. But, man, Kawhi Leonard, MVP candidate.
Yeah, you know, you heard the story that Pop said it was one of the most difficult decisions you have to do to trade a fan favorite, a favorite of his, George Hill. But, man, the ends justify the means. I mean, look at the Spurs have now. They have themselves an MVP candidate, in my opinion. As much as you want to talk about Harden, who's kind of dropped off a bit,
yeah.
Curry, who's kind of coming on of late, Kawhi has been steady, steady production, defensively and offensively. He's had a string of 30-point-plus games. Yeah, he leads the league in the number of 30-point-plus games this season. They're at 16 now. He just dropped 32 on the Pistons. And his game back from resting an injury against Philly, he had 32. I mean, you saw what he did against LeBron. I mean, he made LeBron almost non-existent in the game in Cleveland, and it was overtime, and he scores 41 points, his career high.
Yeah,
it perplexes me why the media and the players and fans are not saying, you know what, Curry, you know what, Harden, there's another guy in San Antonio that might be challenging you guys for this honor.
Mm-hmm. It still perplexes me how they just get passed over, like the Spurs, all the time, no matter what. And, you know, I keep riding on the no-look pass. It's like, oh, the Spurs are on a 12-game winning streak. But you know what? No one's talking about it again. I'm telling you, but no one else is talking about it. Maybe the Spurs media is, of course, but no one else is talking about it. It goes back so quietly. It's so every year. It never fails. Every year.
Yeah, the Spurs are just consistent, and I think that's a good bad problem. What I mean by that is, mm-hmm. It's great. I love the fact that every season I get to watch and cover a team that's going to be a good product on the floor. But it's because so expected now, it gets glossed over. So when, oh, I'm making this up now. Let's just pretend Dallas, you know, emerges from the ashes and comes off the season where they were 30 and 52, whatever, you know, and now this year they're 50 and 32. Oh my God, they get praised. But yet, there's San Antonio still winning 60 plus games and nobody talks about that. And I think I'm going to love to hear or watch if it ever does happen. And if ESPN does a 30 for 30 Spurs dynasty, you know, or the Spurs when Pop retires or something like that, like a reflectant, like, I think you and something like with some player or some, like a Kareem or a Jordan or, you know, a David Stern, whoever, ended by saying this was a team that we regret never putting them as our face of the league. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Like, we missed out on an opportunity. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they glorify the Warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, but yet people forget Draymond Green flashed his you-know-what during the offseason. You know, he got arrested. He got arrested for disorderly conduct in East Michigan. He's Lansing, Michigan. Mm-hmm. You see his kicks. You see, the Warriors just doggedly, you know, like poking and prodding and clapping and just being bullies, you know, to opposing teams that they're just crushing. You see what Pachulia did to Westbrook, and you don't see any of that from the Spurs, you know. But yet they put the Warriors as the face of the league, you know. And that's to say, like, I come around to appreciating like LeBron now, because I look back in his career. I mean, obviously I was a Spurs. I'm a big Spurs fan as far as and as well as a media guy.
Yeah.
But I look at him, and he was always the enemy. He's oh, we'll face LeBron again in the finals. Oh, it's Kawhi, you know, and LeBron. Oh, yeah, go Kawhi. And I look back, and I'm like, you know what? He's actually kind of Spurs material. Superstar, mm-hmm. unassuming, yeah. never had off the court issues, mm-hmm. never had on the court issues, gave it his all, you know, and is a top player, you know. And I look at that, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, so I come around to appreciating LeBron a lot more than I should have years ago.
Right.
And, but yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see if the ESPN ever does a 30 for 30 Spurs dynasty or the Spurs era, you know, and see how that gets handled. But it's great covering this team. I love it. I appreciate it. I get to watch basketball excellence on the court, off the court, on the sidelines, in management, brass, and how they break down players. And, you know, it's so crazy how they do this, because I can't name names, obviously, but I know an NBA agent, and the agent was telling me, like, the exact, what they do when they're scouting players. And he said it's just ridiculous, and the type of questions mm-hmm. they ask, and, you know, what they look for in a player. And so this agent is just, he was just amazed. Like, he goes, I know their formula. I know what they look for. He told me the formula. I can't repeat it.
Yeah.
But, it just, and then when he told me stuff, I'm like, how in the, that? I'm like, that's what they look for? I'm like, yep. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, internally, like, again, I mean, every team wants to be like the Spurs. Like, how it's run, how they play, you know, and of course, the basketball excellence on and off the court. Like, that's what they want to mm-hmm. be, internally. But, again, the fans around the world just don't appreciate that. So, mm-hmm. I think that's still a wonder to me. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, us hardcore fans appreciate the Spurs. Like, we've done so over the past few years, we've come around to them. But, you mm-hmm. know, the casual fans are still like, well, all about Russell Westbrook, it's all about James Harden, it's all about the Warriors, yep. it's still all about the Lakers, even though they suck. But the Spurs always get glossed over, and it's unfortunate, I think. But then you like it because it's quiet, and you don't mind them being unassuming, and then suddenly, boom, they win the title.
Yeah, you also look at, you know, how the media reacts. It's like, if you ever watch them and they're looking at, you know how sometimes ESPN or another outlet, it could be 1 week into the freaking season, of a brand-new season, they'd be like, okay, let's look at the playoff picture. I'm like, what? We're looking at the playoff picture now? But you look at them, and then, like, they gloss over. This person is always like, oh, and the number one Warriors going to be facing the number eight OKC and blah, blah, blah. Oh, great, 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 great. And then it was the Spurs. Yeah, the Spurs are there. And then after that, it's the Jazz. The Jazz are having a good season. You know, they just gloss over it. Yeah. I think everybody just expects it now.
Yeah, yeah. And they've been making the playoffs again for the last 20 years. And I believe 26 of the last 27 years, which is unheard of at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you're going to have Kawhi Leonard for a number of years. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. That's not his personality to go somewhere else, you know, I feel like. So he's basically like, he's the perfect Spur. Quiet, just plays well, nothing flashy about him,
mm-hmm.
really, really good defensive player, and, you know, he just wants to do his job. He'll be there for the next 15 years probably anyway. So...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, what gets underrated is his durability. I mean, you never really see him be out for extended amount of periods for injuries, you know, so very durable.
Yeah, come to think of it, like, most of the Spurs have been durable, like, knock on wood, but...
Duncan was very durable.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen Parker, you know, we miss games here and there, but as long as Duncan was there, like, they didn't seem to miss a beat, you know? So...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, people say, oh... They've won 50 games since 2000 or whatever, but like, yeah. But the lockout year only had 50 games. They would have won more than 50 if that was a full year. So they've been winning 50 games since Duncan was there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible to me how they managed to keep this up, you know?
Yeah. Again, just looking at this team, you know, I'm looking at even like a guy like David Lee, you know, who was added this offseason, and I was totally against the signing. I said, no way, why did you bring a banged up David Lee? What's he going to give you? He didn't give anything to Boston. Had John, you know, come on the lockdown and be like, why did the Spurs get this guy? He's napalm, you know, and he didn't do anything for Dallas. And this year he's being productive off the bench.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's his role. Like, just play limited minutes and... He's doing pretty good defensively too for what we expect from him. You know what I mean? Like he's been.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least the Lakers have a good future ahead of them.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Although Magic is dumb if he thinks they're just one superstar away from competing with the Warriors and Spurs. No.
Good grief.
I don't know. I know why your Lakers are going to give him. Well, hopefully not full control as he wants. He wants to be the final shot caller. Come on.
Here's the thing about the Lakers. See, the Lakers do a good draft, a good trade. Mitch Kupchak gets all the credit. When they do a bad deal, bad trade, Jim Buss gets all the criticism.
He gets piled on. Yeah,
it's funny because they've been working together since 2004, 2005, really. So,
like, oh really?
Yeah, they've been working together. So the Gasol deal. That's both of them, but Kupchak gets the credit because he's the general manager, he's the face. He's the one that speaks about it. But Jim Buss, Jim Buss had a say in that too. So, and of course, Jim Buss also did the Chris Paul deal that went down the drain, but no one gives a credit.
Why did the NBA kill that deal? I forgot why.
Oh, because David Stern owned the Hornets and he didn't want that deal. But it's funny because he said it, like, after the deal was made. And it's like, should he have heard about this in the first place? I don't know. So
basically the deal was killed because David Stern...
owned the Hornets.
I remember the NBA owned the Hornets because they were, like, in a transition phase. I remember that.
Yeah.
So then they made the deal, and then David Stern says, I don't like the deal.
Yeah, basically. That's it.
Is that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it, yeah. Although, again, it's funny because... David Stern should have heard of this deal, like, hours before. Like, he only heard
it... That's what I'm saying again.
He only heard it after the deal was made, which was so, you know... Of course, it will bring some critics out there and some conspiracy theorists. It's like, wait a minute. Did you hear of this deal? And he wanted to say basketball reasons or whatever, and they nixed the deal. But then they still say that Lakers still make the deal if they get a better package, and it turns out the Clippers had a better package. So, yeah.
That is bizarre.
It is bizarre. And people say that's when the team started going down. But then I always say, well, Jim Buster covered nicely with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. We just didn't know.
Oh, but that was a failed experiment.
Well, I like the Steve Nash deal because he was still playing well, and then he got a freak accident, freak injury with Damian Lillard hitting him on the thigh. So, like, I thought that was you know, bad luck. And Dwight Howard, well, we know how that turned out, so.
That was a joke.
Yeah, and then ever since then.
I mean, seriously, I mean, Duncan just made him look like a chump in that playoff series.
There's that famous picture of Dwight Howard being laughed at by Tim Duncan. We see that picture all the time, where Tim Duncan just laughed.
Oh, are you talking about where, like,
yeah.
Where Duncan is sitting on the sidelines?
Yeah,
like that.
Just laughing in the background, yeah. While the Howard's on the court, yeah. Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah,
I know that one. Then I think Howard is, like, cussing him out or something like that.
Yeah, Tim Duncan's just laughing, so. Yeah, but.
You know, Duncan got the last laugh. They got rid of the Lakers easily.
Easily, yeah. Well, Kobe was out the week before that, too, because he tore his Achilles. And at that point, it's like they were starting Andrew Godelock on shooting guard, and it's like, that's just not going to go well.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, it was.
Was Bynum still with the team?
No, it was. No. Bynum got traded for Howard.
What?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Bynum? Like, what nowadays?
I have no idea. The last time we saw Andrew Bynum was he was sitting in the finals, like he was watching the game in Cleveland with a blonde afro.
Okay.
That was the last time we saw
him.
I love Bynum. I have this weird fascination with weird guys, but like, I always hope that if Bynum would come back, he'd be like 400 pounds and like, hey, I'm ready for a comeback. Yeah.
Bynum. I remember there were some Spurs fans back when Bynum was decent. Like, well, we want Bynum on the team. We want Bynum on the team. Like, I'm like, no.
Yeah, Bynum's a case. Like, we all, like, it's pretty well documented that he liked basketball very much. Like, he did it because he's a big guy and it's good money.
Hmm.
But for a guy that didn't like basketball very much, he did very well at it. So, of course.
Didn't he try to go at Shaq in his first game or try to, like...
Yeah, he dunked on Shaq. He dunked on Shaq.
Yeah.
And then Shaq came back later. So, yeah.
Shaq doesn't like that stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. But, yeah, for a guy that doesn't like basketball very much, he did very well. It's just that injuries started piling up. Like, dude, we all know he got injured, like, 2 years in a row in Memphis, right? So, that's just...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And for a guy that didn't like basketball very much, he did try to come back with Cleveland. It just didn't work out because he was just too beat up at that point. So, yeah. Hey,
yeah.
He got money out of it, so I can't blame him.
It's all that matters. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow, we covered a lot here. So, Jeff, go ahead and publicize your social media. Your non-existent Twitter account I never see anymore, and your website.
Yeah, exactly. Which it still baffles me why you say it. I don't get it. Because I see you. I see you all the time.
Okay. Well, maybe.
I think I told you that you blocked me.
No. I never even muted you. And, like, it takes a lot for me to mute people. I never muted you. So, like, I don't...
Interesting. Yeah, all right. Well, as Ray mentioned, I am the Spurs writer for NewsForAntonio.com, Fox 29, SanAntonio.com, and I am the host of Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. It's I'm always down to talk some Spurs. Again, I don't know when Ray's airing this show, but I will be in New York for the Spurs Knicks game, so you can look for some exclusive interviews, pictures, videos, whatever I can get my hands on while I'm there. Go check it out, and yeah, year round I'm covering the Spurs, so I'm always up to talk about the silver and black. So make sure to follow me on Twitter.
Oh man, yeah, I'm sure he's on Twitter, guys. I said I don't see him, but I'm sure the rest of you guys do. So
yeah, the whole everybody's gonna be like, "What is your problem? Man? Like, how are you blind?"
I'm getting old. I have no idea. So that's it. My co-host Adam Jacoby is not here, so I'll say it for him. There's no need to be bugging unless it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging. Thanks, Jeff. It was really fun.
Yep.
Game over, yeah!
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.
Moded.